It is incredible what one can hear from the mouths of people. Unfortunately, they're not good things sometimes. And sadly, most of the time we spend time listening to bad news or confessions or private things that people make when they get carried away by their emotions. They don't think first to speak, but they say everything they think, and then, you know, it doesn't go very well. If there is something that we cannot hide, is what is in the heart. Because in the end, what we speak, think and do is the result of what is inside us. But sometimes when we hear so many terms and so many words that come out of people's mouths, we wonder, is that everything? Is that it? Is there something inside this person's heart? Forgive me for being a little bit sarcastic, but I think that today sensitivity has been lost. And what hurts me the most is that insensitivity, and that we are light on the world, and those who claim to know God don't really show God in their hearts. So yes, I am referring to some Christians as well. Today I'm speaking to those who attend a congregation and have received Christ in their hearts. And I'm also speaking to those who listen and do not congregate and have not opened their hearts to the Lord. There is a question that we should all ask ourselves, and I wish we could answer in the most sincere way. And that is, what is in our heart? Because when we congregate in a church, or when we can congregate in a church, we can take theology courses and we can be involved in so many religious activities, just as an excuse to justify our actions sometimes. Our words and think that being religious, the one who sins and then prays, gets even, but it doesn't work like that. Forgive me for speaking to you in this way today. But I think there come times when the strong words are not real, or those strong words hurt and harmed. But sometimes it's necessary to give you hard words as well, because it's necessary to provoke an exhortation, as the Word of God teaches us. So it's necessary that we learn to walk the right way. And yes, sometimes we're not so proud to be able to continue listening to this advice. We're not happy to listen to this kind of advice, but these words are important. And sometimes we turn off the radio or turn off WhatsApp because we say, oh, that's not really for me. So, you know, sometimes we can hide behind a false appearance and piety. And the Bible says so, because our heart is so far from God and so damaged that we can raise our hands and tell God that we love Him, but our actions do not go according to what we are declaring or what we are thinking. We're not upright because we preach one thing, but we live another one. Some preach of the love of God, but they do not love. On the outside, they help, but at home, they hate. Is this double life okay? Is it that justifying our actions by going to church is okay? I don't think so. The only way is a true repentance and to be forgiven by the Lord. To reach that forgiveness means to recognize that we sinned and not to do it again. My beloved friend, not to fall back into that same thing. Otherwise, we will be practicing more a religion than a relationship. And that does not mean anything. That has no meaning. It is useless, because in the end, the religious will not enter heaven, but only those who really know the Father. And those that the Father knows too. So maybe this makes you uncomfortable or bothers you, but wearing a necklace where you have a cross on your chest, which is the only good thing that people might see, is not enough. Because on the other hand, your words are like snake venom. Your tongue crawls so far that three blocks away, they realize it was you. So I don't know, but I tell you again, my intention is not to judge you. But the Bible says that we should be busy exhorting. And I believe that if we have Christ in our heart, we should be receiving and manifesting a new life, a true repentance, and not hiding behind a Bible or behind a religious occupation to feel good like the Pharisees, whom Jesus called as whited sepulchres, that on the outside they looked so nice with their necklaces and their prayers models, but inside they were rotten. Are we like them? And I include myself there, because when I get up to pray, the first thing the Lord does is to bring me before that cross, to know, to see my reality, to see what the world is seeing in us. Okay, so suddenly you say, oh, what an amazing word, what a tremendous word, that's truth. That's why I do not attend any church. That's why I do not believe in any evangelical church. But you're the same, because the church is not bad. The gospel is not bad. There are people who hide behind the truth of the Lord to hide their sin and not really confess it and turn away from it. And that is definitely a subject, but that's a very different matter. But the church is not bad. Let me tell you that. The gospel is not bad. We are the ones who have to observe how we are. And you too, my dear friend. Because this would be another excuse. And you could say, well, for that reason, I do not congregate. For that reason, I just follow my own life. For that reason, I do not believe in the evangelicals. Ah, but you do believe in you. You don't enjoy life with your children. You go and get drunk. The money that you should invest in the house or in your family, in your home, you don't invest it. You have a wife out of wedlock, or you have a man, your wife. Yes, you wives, hear me out. Out of the wedlock. You have rebellious children because for you to divorce is easier. You steal at work, you steal time, and then you say, I am not like those evangelicals. I prefer not to go to church. Ah, but you prefer to live in your double worldly life away from God. And we are quick to judge others because we see that they have a speck in their eye. But how easy is it to see the speck and not see the log in your own eye? Forgive me, but that's what Jesus said. How is it possible that you try to take out the speck in the eye of one in front of you when you have a log, a beam in your own eye? You will end up hitting the other and hurting him. If first you don't work or allow God to work in yourself and recognize your condition, so how can you judge others? But we are quick to judge. Just listen to some people and realize what's in their heart, what's in the words, what the words have. All the time we live upset, anguished, worried, stressed. There is always something we want to achieve, and there will always be something that we will never achieve. There will always be a dissatisfaction, because we always want more and we will never be happy and grateful with what we already have. So we become people that feel always bored. We stop smiling. We stop enjoying the small things of life. And only when we are on the verge of death, we reconsider and say, I didn't take advantage of the time. I didn't profit from that time. But what's the point then? These words may be hard today, but they can save your life. Because as long as there is life, there is hope. So correcting our walk is necessary. But in our own strength, we're not going to do it. We need God, but a true relationship with God. Not a religion that makes us look like we're not. Without a true relationship that brings to light what we are to be transformed and to manifest Christ in all things. We live in a world full of bitterness. No one watches over anything. There are few who are really sensitive to the needs of others. And as long as it's not about me, I don't care what happens to others. Someone else takes the life of another person for $15,000 or a few cents. An argument between family leads to taking one's life, an inheritance. That money brings, or that brings money. Something that brings competition and siblings being against each other, being against their own parents, their own children. We have become so idolatrous of money, and we have become so superficial that we look at the straw on the outside and we look so pretty, that there is so much hollow inside. And that is precisely what the world wants. But you know what? It is not what God wants. So when someone is doing well, we get upset. If our neighbor is doing well, we get upset. It is easier to bring to light all his faults and complain to God because he does and I do not. What a tremendous truth. Instead of rejoicing for the blessing of others, we complain because others got all these things and we don't. We think we are the navel of the world and the last Coke in the desert. We think we deserve so much, but is it really so? Now, the other side of the coin is that others think that nothing makes sense in life and therefore gives them the same. Both one extreme as the other, my dear friend. And that's not right either. But how can we find that balance in life? Well, learn to be thankful, enjoy each new day, rejoice with those who are doing well, and in the midst of a trial, of all your trial, learn to give thanks for the few things we do have, and that at some point this time will pass and we will get what the Lord has for us in the store, in the good time. So in the good time, be thankful, because only on Christ we can achieve it. But we need to work on the beam that is in your eye. Otherwise, everyone will be there to blame but us. Have you ever excused yourself saying, is that my dad and my mom are to blame? Is my wife the one to blame? Is my husband the one to blame? Is the state and the government to blame? Is it my boss? People are to blame and I am just a victim of everyone. Will it be like that, or everyone was a victim but you? Jesus himself, at some point in his preaching, after feeding thousands and healing many and performing miracles, told them, I am the bread of life. They thought that Jesus was talking about the physical bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life that takes away. It will truly take away your hunger, the hunger that you have. But they didn't love him, because it is easier to love miracles. It is easier to be supported. It is easier not to work and let someone else support me. It is easier for God to be my fireman, God, than for him to come into my life to tell me what I have to change and what I don't. It is always easier, isn't it? So Jesus said to them, "You must understand that apart from me, there is no life. I am the bread of life. Miracles are good, signs are good, but it's better when you have who does the miracles and who does the signs, and you have a direct relationship with him. That's what it's all about. We can sit here and evaluate everybody around you. We all fail, my beloved friends, including you, including me. I fail too. Maybe I could be the worst of all of you all. But one thing I do is that I go to the cross. I don't carry it on my chest. I don't carry a rosary. Forgive me for saying it this way, or the biggest Bible to indicate that I am the most spiritual one. I just keep silent and cry out to God. I acknowledge my weakness, and then his power is perfected in my weakness." That's what we need today, my beloved friends. Jesus told the people, "No more. You need the true bread of life, and that's me. Follow me." Many left. They didn't like it. They just wanted to see the miracles. So I can tell you that if that's how you like it, then you won't have the true love of Jesus. You won't have completely Jesus. Jesus said to these people, "It is not about that." So Jesus' words were so hard that his disciples said, or those who follow him, they had a great commitment. They said what hard words these are. And you know what Jesus said to them? "Ah, they are hard. Do you want to live too? Well, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you." Jesus had to show them their reality. What is our reality? I wish we could meditate on this for a moment and we would realize that there is within us. Because the book of James says, "Where do quarrels strive from others?" No, my dear friend. If our doing is wrong, it's because our being is destroyed. And only God can repair it and can do something much better. Father, thank you for this word. I just ask you in the name of Jesus that everyone who's hearing this can hear it with their spiritual ears and make a mark in every heart. Transform lives, because apart from you, we can do nothing. Separated from you, we can do nothing. So we need you today more than ever, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. We pray, Father. Amen. Today, this message was brought to you by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Remember that God always comes just in time. I invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Devotionals Just in Time. And we already have all the devotionals you want to hear and much more material so that you can grow in the Lord. I also would like to invite you to download our app, which is called Devotionals Just in Time. You can download it from the App Store or you can download it from the Google Play. And if you have social networks, you can find me as at Pastor Elias HC. Many blessings to you all and a big, big hug.